once you do that one activity, I mean, many of the other things that you're looking to do just tend to fall right into place. Let's go!
The most energetic, fit, and stress-resilient people on the planet practice daily habits to keep their hormones balanced, their gut healthy, and their muscles and mind strong. Welcome to That Fitness Couple. We're Mike and Corey Beth Lepowski, founders of Pure Physique.
This podcast is designed to provide you with everything we've discovered and continue to discover about nutrition, training, and lifestyle. Today, we all live hectic lives.
So we've made it our mission to make your fitness time efficient and to build you up. Hope you share and enjoy. Let's dive into today's episode. Let's go. All right, so we have a special treat for you today. We did a training for a big corporate group that we've done many times for our clients, and it was received with such great feedback. Mike and I talked and we said, let's bring it to our audience on That Fitness Couple. So here we are with two powerful topics. I'm going to talk to you about the one thing, and Mike?
Well, I'm going to talk about the one thing that maybe we should be focusing on from this time going forward, which is protein.
Ooh, all right. So let's dive in here. So this concept, the one thing, I've been coaching on this for 5 years. I did not come up with the idea. It was actually Gary Keller's book, The One Thing, that really impacted me. And the quote in his book says, what is the one thing, I don't even know where it went, but it's, what is the one thing I must do such that by doing everything else is easier or unnecessary? And this is a question that we pose to clients a lot. And of course, when you first hear it, you're like, whoa, hold on. Like, I don't know what the answer to that is. And it's something that we talk through, we coach through. It's something that they think about for a couple of days. So if you're listening, you're like, oh my gosh, that's a big question.
It's a deep question.
It is. It's, I want you to think about it in one small category of your life. So here we're talking about health and fitness. And if you think to yourself, what is the one thing I can do in my life with health and fitness, that if I did that one thing, everything else would become easier or unnecessary? And I love to give a couple of examples. So the one thing that often comes up for women is, and men, scheduling, living by a calendar. And I think that's probably one of the most unorthodox things that we coach on in our fitness programs is calendaring. But it's so obvious because if we want people to be supported in getting their workout in you know, shopping for food, in eating healthy meals, well, then we got to make sure that we have their calendar laid out in a way that supports that.
Well, I 100% agree. And especially also, I'll just add one more to that, which is sleep. And how is it that you can get the proper amount of sleep or get better sleep if you don't actually have it calendared? And people are like, well, that makes no sense. You know, I go to sleep and I wake up. But when you actually put it on a calendar, you get to see how much sleep are you getting? What could you manipulate before bedtime that would allow for additional sleep? What could you move around in the morning that would help you get more sleep or better quality or just wake up in a better fashion? And all of that really just hinges on having a schedule that is just so in alignment with how your days ideally need to go, that once you do that one activity of getting your schedule set up, I mean, many of the other things that you're looking to do just tend to fall right into place.
Yeah, no, it's really great. Well, and I think that when a lot of people start, we'll talk just about health and fitness. They start a program. It's like, oh my gosh, I got to get my sleep, drink my water, get my workout, got to go shopping, got to meal prep, got to do all these things. And we get that like analysis paralysis or that overwhelm that puts us in a place of not taking action on anything. And so focusing on one thing at a time is very beneficial for the human mind because, you know, what we know to be true is where focus goes, energy flows. And so if we could flow more of our energy and focus into that one category, it makes a huge change. Another thing that's come up is I need to schedule my workouts. So maybe it's somebody that is not quite ready to do their entire calendar and put their sleep and their morning routine and everything in, but it's just getting those couple of workouts plugged. And there was a gentleman actually on that corporate call that was like, yeah, I could get one more workout in a week. Like I could totally do that. We're like, cool, send us a screenshot of your calendar. You know, I love doing that. Because it ensures that someone actually goes and does it. So that's one. And then the other is the food shopping. So one of the great things that came out of COVID, there were not many, but one of the great things that came out was the ease of shopping, that we have all of these apps now for every supermarket. You pull up, they put groceries in your trunk and you keep on going. I mean, I personally love how simple that makes things. I mean, we used to go through phases pre-COVID where there would be no food in the house. And Mike's like, what did you plan on serving us for dinner tonight?
How am I supposed to get my protein in if there is no protein in the house?
And currently, we probably have how many eggs in our fridge?
Oh, we're probably sitting at least
80?
Six dozen.
Okay. Yeah, 72. Okay. Yeah, it's quite a few eggs in our fridge. You know, we're never without because it's so simple to use that, but it was focusing for me and sometimes for others. You know, how are you going to ensure that you get food at a regular cadence in your house and your fridge so you're not like, well, there was nothing to eat, so I ate saltines and Snickers. Like, there's no excuse. There's no excuse to it. So think for yourself. You know, if you have a big goal or there's something that you're really looking to move the needle on, what is one thing that you could do that would really make a big impact? And sometimes it's the least likely thing, or it seems like the simplest thing. Sometimes it feels like it's the dumbest thing. But once you start doing that one thing, you realize, oh my gosh, that made a really big difference. And it opens up the gateway to add in the next one thing.
And with that being said, I think the one thing that most people could do that would make the biggest impact on their lives is obviously resistance training. But for this group and for the purpose of this conversation we're having today, I wanted to dive into protein being the one thing that people could focus on. Because if right now you have your eyes set on fat loss goals, you're trying to optimize your body composition, or you're thinking about your metabolic health, protein really is that one thing that could really help move the needle on all of those particular goals. And I wanted to just clarify before going any further, when we're talking about metabolic health, we're not just talking about it from the point of view of metabolism. When people hear metabolic health, they think about having a, you know, faster metabolism, a higher metabolism, being able to just burn more calories, burn more fat. And while that is very important to our overall metabolic health, what we're really talking about is what we've had others on our podcast discuss, which is good metabolic health means that you are insulin sensitive. Good metabolic health means that you're not carrying additional body fat, that your HDL and your triglycerides are where they should be. And because all of that type of metabolic health is what really sets us up to have just better health overall and to reduce our risk of type 2 diabetes, of cancer, of cardiovascular disease. So that is really the point of view that I want to come from when talking about metabolic health.
Can I just say one thing?
Sure.
This drives me crazy. When I used to log on MyFitnessPal, the general recommendation, and I don't know who gives it to MyFitnessPal to give to us, but for women was 60 grams of protein a day. Do you know where that comes from or why that gets set as such a low number?
Yeah, I mean, that really comes from the RDA's recommendations. And, you know, we know through research that RDA's recommendations really are not that great. They are extremely low, yes. And so with that being said, we have to kind of look beyond what the recommendations that are typically given to us by some of these organizations, which I know we've pointed out before. You know, many of them begin with all the right intentions, but then you have to also look at what happens over time, who sits on the boards, who's making these decisions, what research are they using? And then you start to find out that there's recommendations that are given based upon faulty science, that the research that was done had some glaring problems to them. And those things don't get brought up to the public. People don't know that. They only know the headline. They only know what the recommendation is given by these organizations after they've come to their conclusion, but that's not necessarily the proper conclusion.
Well, I just think, you know, if the supermarket looked like how we ate from it and we were all eating the right amount of protein, it wouldn't be, you know, refrigerated section with a freezer section and then like all of these shelves in between. It would be mostly refrigerated section because that's what protein, which I know you're going to get to.
Yeah, but well, spoiler alert, you know, for those who are already thinking like, I've heard this before, how much protein am I supposed to have then? Because this recommendation over here says it's as little as 60 grams a day. And then I hear other people saying that, you know, I should be having a gram per pound of my body weight. And it's a great question. And I understand the confusion around it. I think the way to just simplify it is that if we think about what our ideal body weight is, and we just take that number, we multiply it by 0.8. If we have a lot of body fat to lose, right, if we're very far away from that ideal amount or that ideal body weight, I should say, then we multiply that by 0.8, and that should give us a good baseline of how much protein we should be consuming. So just as a quick example, somebody who points to 135 pounds, say there's a woman right now out there, she's about 185, 190 pounds. She says 135, I think, is my ideal. Well, you take that 135, you multiply it by 0.8, and you're going to come up with a number that's in the range of around 110 grams of protein. But if you're that woman who is already relatively close to that. You're sitting at 145 pounds, you're only 10 pounds away. You may take that ideal weight and multiply it by one, and you come up with 135 pounds on the high end, which may sound like a lot, but again, the leaner you are, the more that you could afford the calories from that protein, and the more beneficial it's going to be to maintain your muscle mass as you work to get that last bit of body fat off. I know I'm going on a little bit of a tangent, but I think it's going to be helpful to some people to just simply understand that when you are closer to your goal with respect to your ideal body weight, that's when you are at the greatest risk of losing muscle tissue, because you may have to push harder with regards to your caloric deficit in order to get that last 10 pounds off. But doing so definitely puts your muscles at a higher risk. So in order to insure against that, we want the higher protein intake at that stage.
Wow.
So then we might as well then go into a little bit more about what protein is. And many of us already know this. I mean, we were taught in our fifth grade science class that proteins are the building blocks of our body. And that's absolutely what they are. I think where we've gone with this discussion around protein is people tend to think that protein is only relevant to our muscle mass, but really protein plays a role in every cell in our body.
This was fascinating to me. So I definitely want you to science us here.
Okay. Well, I've said it on this show before, but I'm just going to say it again. The word protein comes from the Greek word proteos, which means holding first place or of primary importance. So really smart people, smarter than us, knew many thousands of years ago that protein is the most important nutrient for us to take in.
Wow.
Because it plays such a large role in building our body up. So this is not just about recovering from your workout or building more muscle. This is every cell in your body breaks down and needs to be repaired. And so protein is going to play a role in that process. Now, also just for clarification purposes, when we're talking about protein, we are always talking about it through that lens of animal proteins. And that's not to say that protein doesn't exist in our plant foods. It doesn't exist in legumes and nuts and seeds. It does. However, the biggest difference between protein from those sources and protein from animal sources has to do with the amount of nutrients that are in it, the amount of protein that you're getting in a smaller amount, meaning you don't have to eat as much to get the same amount of protein if you're eating it from an animal source as you would if you're trying to get it from legumes. So that's a big difference right there. Then there's also the topic of bioavailability, meaning does that protein, how does it absorb into your body? How does your body absorb it and utilize it? And we know that animal protein is the most bioavailable form of protein that we could eat. So this is not definitely today the discussion of arguing between animal proteins versus plant proteins, but just simply know that protein in general is very important, and yeah, we can get it from many different sources.
Love that.
It's just going to come down to the amount and the quality of what we're consuming.
Well, just for reference, I want to make sure it's correct. You know, I think the same amount of protein in 3 or 4 ounces of chicken or beef or whatever, you'd have to eat somewhere near like 8 cups of chickpeas to
that's
get
correct.
The equivalent amount of protein. Yeah. So just for context, that's a lot of chickpeas.
And protein plays an important role, has to do with what protein breaks down to in our body. So protein in our body breaks down into amino acids, and there's 21 amino acids that our body needs, but there's 9 that are absolutely essential. Like your body needs these 9. And as I mentioned, you could get them entirely from animal sources. You can get some from plant sources, just not in the amounts that we typically need. But when we think about these amino acids, a really good way of viewing this is like Lego blocks. Our kids love building Legos. And if we were to think about building a Lego wall, each individual piece are those amino acids. And as I said, we need 9 of them that are absolutely necessary to build that wall, which in turn is really our body that we're building up and trying to strengthen and make healthy. And those amino acids, it's kind of like our little guy Grayson, right? If I helped Reardon go and build this big Lego wall, very likely at some point throughout the day or in the days to come, Grayson's going to come along and start picking those blocks off that wall. Well, that's what happens with our body with amino acids. Our body is constantly using them. There's this turnover. and we have to continue to replace those blocks. Mm-hmm. So every time Grayson takes one off, I notice it, I come by, and I put it back on. And that's exactly what our body needs. But in this case, the only way our body can replace those blocks is if we're providing those blocks. So we need to constantly be feeding our body these amino acids through our protein intake. And the more stress that we're under, right, the more we're running ourselves ragged, the more we exercise, the more we need to keep up with that block coming in, because there's more blocks coming off. So that's very important. Now, another cool concept around this is when it comes to building our bodies, when it comes to building muscle, we know that protein plays this big role. And where exercise and protein kind of come together, right, to complement one another, is that the Lego wall doesn't just come out of nowhere. Just like your muscles don't come out of nowhere. In order to build your muscles, in order to build that wall, you need a brick layer. And for us, resistance training is that brick layer. So that is myself or Reardon sitting there putting those bricks in place. Well, for those out there, your resistance training is that form of brick laying. So what we have is a scenario where you can be a good brick layer. You could be good at doing your workouts. You show up. But if you're not providing enough bricks, then as a bricklayer, you have nothing to work with. And then the opposite could be true. You can consume lots of protein. You can make sure that you're covering the full spectrum of amino acids. But if you don't have a bricklayer to put them in place, it's really not of great benefit.
You have bins of Legos everywhere.
Exactly. So this is why protein does play such a huge role in for those who exercise. But for those right now who are like, well, I eat really good, you know, where does exercise fit into the equation? This is where it fits into the equation.
That's
this is
a great analogy.
Huge.
I liked it.
Thank you.
Hey, we hope you're enjoying our show and finding it valuable. If you could do us a quick favor, it would mean the world to us. Please take a moment to rate and review our podcast on your favorite platform. Your reviews help us reach more people and share our message. Plus, we'd love to hear your feedback. Thanks for being awesome and supporting us. Now, back to the show.
All right, so let's talk about, though, the protein advantage. And there's really three advantages to protein, which is the reason why I wanted to focus on this.
Can we just tell what the types of protein are? I know we said animal protein, but sometimes I think it's helpful for a person, like, we get a comment, what are the animal proteins that you would suggest? So what are some of the ones that you would suggest?
Well, it would be your beefs, your steaks, your chicken, your lamb, your fish, your oysters. It could be dairy products such as Greek yogurt, cottage cheese. You could even utilize a protein powder.
Eggs.
Eggs, absolutely.
Tuna.
Another good one.
Shrimp.
So anything that falls into any of those animal categories are really what we're looking at.
And then practically for a woman being like, oh my gosh, 110 grams of protein, what does that look like? You know, I keep putting up content about, you know, we shouldn't be eating one egg or two eggs. We should be eating 4, 5, and 6 eggs. And just simply by doing that, you're going to go from like 12 to 14 grams of protein. You're going to shoot all the way up to like 35 grams of protein. So you do that 3 times a day, you're in that range. So I just wanted to point to the practical person who's like, how am I going to get that in? How am I going to achieve that?
Well, that's a question that does come up quite often, yeah, and more from women than we see from men. And I think that the way to answer this question, because what we'll typically see is somebody say, you know, I can't eat that much. It seems like it's a lot of food. And when we really think about it, it's not really a tremendous amount of food. I mean, in order to get around 100 grams of protein, and if we were just getting it from these animal sources, you know, let's just use ground beef, for example, it would be 16 ounces of ground beef. Now, there's not many women out there who will sit down and eat 16 ounces of ground beef. And I'm not saying that's the only thing you should eat throughout the day, but for the sake of this example, if you were to eat 6 ounces 3 times a day, you're already at 18 ounces. So you're already above. And yeah, 6 ounces is not a tremendous amount.
That's like 2 burger patties. They're a burger patty and a half.
Yeah. And, you know, I had a conversation just yesterday with somebody about this. And I said, here's the way to look at it. And I use this burger example because I think it's really simple. If you go to a restaurant and you order a burger, typically you are going to get a 6 ounce burger. But what comes along with that burger?
That's all I'm thinking about as we're sitting here. You have the bun, tomato, lettuce, pickle, mayo, French fries galore, dipping sauce for the French fries, you know, and that's why people will say, I can't eat that much food. Well, we're not asking you to eat all of this food. We're asking you to take away all of this fried, refined stuff. And if you just literally sat at that table and ate the burger patty, you'd probably still be hungry.
Well, go back to the Greek meaning of the word protein, of primary importance, right? And so if we prioritize our protein, and that was exactly what I said. I said, if you took away the bun, if you left the fries on the side, how hard would it be to eat that 6-ounce burger? It would not be difficult at all.
Yeah.
And it's not that we are telling people that you can't eat some of those other things that come along with it. But if the priority is protein, then you're going to eat that first. Then if you have room for the rice, the potatoes, the vegetables, and all of that, then that's great.
I love that philosophy because I think for a lot of people like me, you know, we'd get that platter and it's like, ooh, sweet potato, curly French fries, you know, and it's like, we're eating that. And then it's like, all right, there's a burger here. And then we only eat half of it. And we wonder why it's hard to get in the protein. Well, you didn't prioritize it.
Yeah. And, you know, you can split this up over the course of 3 meals a day. You could split it, you know, over 2. Again, 8 ounces is not a tremendous amount. If you think about 8 ounces of salmon.
Or 6 ounces, you said, right?
Well, 6 ounces, but I'm saying if you split it over two meals in a day, then 8 ounces of salmon in one sitting is not a lot, but it's what else are you having with it?
That's good.
So going back to the advantages of protein and why we would want to focus on this is our one thing, and it has to do with our muscle and metabolism, which we already covered pretty much. There's a calorie advantage to protein, and then there is a hunger advantage to protein. So I'm going to go ahead and skip over the muscle part, but we will touch on the metabolism part, which is as we are building more muscle tissue, that does contribute to an increase in our metabolic rate. So very likely that we're going to burn more energy. I always, though, like to preface this with, you don't burn as many calories as you think by adding muscle. So by adding 1 to 4 pounds of muscle, you may only burn an additional 10 to 20 calories per hour. So over the course of a day, you're talking about maybe burning an extra 200, maybe 250 calories.
Why do we overestimate that? That's like breastfeeding too. I remember people are like, oh my gosh, I'm breastfeeding. I had to eat like 5 more meals. I'm like, what? You need like 300 more calories. Like why do we do that?
The reason why is because of some faulty science.
Okay.
Going back to which you had asked me very early on about, you know, the recommendations that it's only 60 grams. A lot of it is built upon faulty science. And at one time, it was believed that by putting on 1 pound of muscle, you're going to burn an extra 50 calories per hour, when in reality, the amount is 6 to 8 calories per hour just by that one additional pound. But the thing is this, muscle does account for about 20% of your metabolic rate. So if we go through all the ways that your body burns calories throughout the day, muscle will account for at least 20%. So if we have a little bit more muscle, it is going to up that, just not as significantly as we'd like to think, which it makes me laugh because I remember, and we still see it to today, my cousin one time had said to me, oh, you know, I just work out so that I could eat as much as I want. It's like, it doesn't work that way. Mm. You know, there's somebody out there right now who's probably saying,
what?
Really? Like, and it's true. It's like we overestimate the contribution of exercise to how many calories we burn. And then there's those who overestimate how much muscle contributes to our metabolic rate. So all of this to say that it does contribute, it is helpful. And I think where we really see it help is not in the I'm going to burn more calorie phase of things. Where it really helps is in terms of maintaining our metabolic rate as we get older. Because when we think about the opposite, we think about muscle loss, that does contribute significantly to gaining body fat. And the reason being that with you losing, say, 4 pounds of muscle, let's just round it up. We're going to say that that results in 30 calories less that you're going to burn per hour. But we add that up over 24 hours in a day, and now we're at about a 400 calorie difference or so, right? You could check my math.
Yeah.
I'm not the best at doing it on the
fly. I'm letting you go. You lost me at 30%, but I'm listening.
Okay, no, 30 calories.
Oh, okay.
So now you're at 30 calories less per hour than you were
when
you had 4 more pounds of
720
muscle.
720 calories.
Okay, so Now you're eating the same way that you've always eaten.
Yeah.
And you're wondering, how is it that I'm gaining this body fat year over year? And it's because even though you're eating the same amount of calories, your body is using fewer of them.
That makes sense.
And that is how we get ourselves in trouble. So where muscle really plays a role here is in maintaining your metabolic rate so that as you keep eating the same as years pass, you don't gain any body fat.
Yeah. I love, actually, there was a picture a long time ago when we were bodybuilding that was like a 145-pound woman. And it was like 9 different women. And all that was different. I mean, their height was different, but also it was their body composition. And it was this like short, stout, like muscular gymnast that was like 145 pounds. And she looked tiny and tight. And then there was this woman who had absolutely no muscle. You know, and she looked like she was a larger size than the other woman. I'm like, wow, that it's so interesting. So you think about the physical component, body composition, but to look, as you're explaining, internally at how it's helping us to burn, metabolize, and our hormones. I mean, there's a lot more benefit than I think we realize.
Absolutely. Well, the next advantage is the calorie advantage. And this should be of note for anybody who is trying to lose more body fat. And that is, if we were to compare how different types of food or different macronutrients absorb into the body, this is where we see a major advantage for protein. And that's 100 calories worth of fat, we absorb 100 of those calories. If we eat 100 calories worth of carbohydrates, we absorb about 95 of those calories. But if we eat 100 calories worth of protein, we only absorb 75 to 80 of those calories. So going back to, this seems like a lot of food that I'm eating. If you're eating the majority of your food is protein, then the amount of those calories that your body's going to absorb is going to be less. So if we're eating 2,000 calories worth of protein, we're only going to absorb about 1,600 calories. So that's very different than the person who eats 2,000 calories worth of fat and you're absorbing all 2,000 or at least 1,900 or 1,800 of carbohydrates, right? So we want to eat a greater amount of protein because for fat loss, from a fat loss perspective, we're absorbing fewer calories. And what I love about that actually ties into the last one, which is the hunger advantage. One of the reasons why people struggle when they're on diets is because they're eating so little food that they're constantly feeling hungry and they're wondering, like, how am I going to ever do this? And how am I going to keep up with this even after I've reached my goal? And the answer is you're not. You're not going to be able to keep up with this unless you're eating in a way that you're constantly feeling satiated. So not to go deep into the science of it, but protein stimulates certain satiating hormones, which make us feel less hungry. So when we are eating a higher percentage of these proteins, the likelihood of us feeling hungry, eating the same caloric amount is much less.
I think of people who say, I eat breakfast and I'm hungry right after. Well, what are you having for breakfast? A bowl of oatmeal, you know? But when we suggest, why don't you try having 4 or 5 egg omelet? They're like, that's so crazy. I'm not hungry anymore. So yeah, we see it all the time.
Yeah, that's a huge advantage. And what I love about that though, is the volume of food that you can eat when you're eating protein is much greater. So now we technically are eating more calories, or we could be eating more calories at breakfast, but to know we're absorbing the same amount as when we were eating that smaller meal that was mainly carbohydrate based. And then most of the research has just proven out over time that when they do the comparison between a high protein diet to a high carb diet, with fat being the same in both groups, the high protein diet always outperforms the high carbohydrate diet in terms of satiety. So people just feel as if they are fuller, that they feel better overall, that they're less hungry. And so this is why, again, I think that if there is one thing that any of us could focus on to really move the needle when it comes to our metabolic health, when it comes to burning body fat or recomping, right? Just building more muscle while losing body fat or just maintaining our body fat while building more muscle, protein would be the key.
Well, so if that's you right now, you're like, okay, Mike has convinced me that I definitely need to be prioritizing this protein in my nutrition plan. I hate calling it a diet. I think we need to really look at it as nutrition because it nourishes us. They're nutrients. Prioritizing that protein may be the one thing that you need to do right now to get yourself on a better track. You know, I don't necessarily think that the Christmas, Thanksgiving, Hanukkah season is the hardest. There's a lot of cookies and stuff out but for people that are in a program, they're being mentored, you know, once you've gotten through that season, I want to say that now tends to be a little more tempting because all of your friends went and binged and you didn't, you know, and you're like, oh, maybe I'll let like a couple cookies here, you know, I did so good before there. So now let me have this now, you know? And so if that's you, I know that this was definitely the client who reached out. I'm like, you're not superhuman. You know, you're going to reach these different levels and layers and shame serves no purpose, but there is a next, you know, mount or summit that you're going to get to. And it's a beautiful place to go to. Maybe for you right now, your one thing is really focusing on that protein. And that's what we said with her. You know, it was really looking at added sugars right now, but focusing on her protein, making sure she's getting in protein is great. And in fact, she's leaving for a trip today. So I was like, I checked in this morning. I'm like, what are you going to be eating? You know, she's like, I have tons of protein packed for the plane, for the trip, for everything. I'm like, that's amazing. I mean, it makes such a big difference. And you don't know what you don't know. And so if that's not you yet, try it. You know, if you're eating 2 eggs, try 4 eggs and let that be the one thing. Don't go on Instagram and be like, oh, but this influencer said I used to do like stair hops for my exercise program. Like, no, don't get distracted. Like choose one thing, see it through, see it out and see that it makes that difference. And then when you're really good, I love how you say it becomes who you are. It's not just something you do. It becomes who you are. Then you think about adding the next one thing.
Well, and I want to just also lend some assistance to somebody out there who right now is thinking, okay, I'm ready to do this, or I've already started doing this, but the problem that I'm running into is that I just can't eat only protein. And I think the problem here for many people is that they take the same approach with this that they do with dieting in general, which is, this has to be bland. This has to be boring. Yeah. And that means that if I'm going to have ground beef, like what they have in their mind is just plain ground beef on a plate. They're like, I can't do that, or I'm not going to keep up with this. And so what I'm going to say is simply this. Do what you need to do right now to start moving in this direction. So if that means that for now, you have to put some ketchup on that ground beef. If you need to find, you know, low to no sugar condiments to use.
Taco seasoning.
Using all types of seasonings. If it means that instead of having the bun and all that stuff, like you're still gonna do the burger, but you're gonna have your pickles. Like we're not saying or suggesting that you have to go full blown carnivore. But what we're saying is you do need to make room for this to be your priority. And if to make it a priority, you need to find ways to make it tastier, to get you into that groove, then that is step one. And then we can concern ourselves with steps 2, 3, 4, and then going to that like advanced master level where, you know, you are like the people who can sit down with 2 pounds of steak and just that's just what you do. And you don't even think or feel anything about other types of food. So take it one step at a time. Don't overwhelm yourself. We've spent this entire time with you today talking about the one thing, but also I'm going to suggest don't overcomplicate this one thing.
Yeah. And in Gary Keller's book, again, I can't find the page here, but coached it enough times, you know, he says, be like a postage stamp, you know, stick to one thing until you get to your destination. And then you can put that next stamp on and head on to your next destination. And I think that sometimes we just need that simple reminder, you know, that it's okay to not be doing all of the things. It's really important to do the most important thing. And I definitely think you've made a great case for protein being that thing here today.
Thanks for tuning in. If you're a busy working parent like us, you understand the daily challenges. Our mission is to make exercise and nutrition simple and exciting, helping you and your family thrive even on the busiest days. We've got a fantastic free 5-day online challenge that's tailor-made for super busy people like you.
If you like a high-vibe workout environment with professional coaching, swing by one of our franchise studios for a free intro workout.
Check the show notes for details or head on over to purephysique.com when you have a moment. We know those moments are rare.
Until next time, lift weights, eat meat, and never forget, you were created on purpose for a purpose.
I'm good.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.